Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, and look close at the phrase, not under law, and then we'll also close with a reading of the next couple of verses. We will discuss what that phrase, not under law, actually means in light of Scripture. And we'll also review the important implications as it regards the kingdom of God, our dispensation of the gospel of grace, and the necessity of recognizing certain errors taught by hyperdispensationalists. And before going to our study, we would like to share a letter we love from Michigan, or as the late Woody Hayes would say, that state up north. This letter is from a brother, Ken. And he writes, thank you for taking the initiative to create this website. And I believe he's talking about bbfohio.com or possibly bbfohioradio.com and the fellowship that it supports. I am a King James Bible believer, and I would like to know if you know of anyone doing anything similar in my area. And we'll not specify the area he mentioned. But his letter continues, I am praying that you may know someone out here in my neck of the suburbs. Keep up the great work. I will be visiting your website for the videos. Yours in Christ, Ken. And we thank Ken for his letter while recommending a church in his area. We can't always give a recommendation, but we have been able to help a few folks find a local church for fellowship, and we're happy to do so whenever possible. You can also write to us if you'd like with your questions, comments, or even condemnations to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or by U.S. Postal at P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And always remember that you can find this information on our websites at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Now we begin our study of Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, titled, Not Under Law. This is part one of two.
In Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 18. We'll read a few more verses later on, but we're going to start with verse 18. And I want to look at what it means to be not under law. And I want to tell you ahead of time before we get in here, this study that we're going to have this morning, of course, this isn't the first time we've ever presented it here, but if this is new to you, it's very important to get this. And we'll just start with the reading of verse 18. Go ahead and read that with me. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And we want to look at that phrase, not under law. It's a terribly misunderstood passage, and that phrase itself, under law. It is misunderstood, mistaught. And as usual, we need to find a biblical balance between two extremes. You're going to find that over and over as you mature in the faith that the devil is in the extremes.
Yeah.
And the extremes on this point of being under law, the first side says it means we're not obligated to lawful behavior. And so they basically say, sin boldly. And believe it or not, I mean, if you don't think that's true, that's what's taught. Then the other extreme is, ignore this, nothing to see here, we're still under law. That's the other extreme. You have one extreme says, we don't even need to worry about being in line with God's law. The other side says, we're actually still under the law. And you're like, well, what does it mean when it says we're not under law? And they really don't have an explanation. They just want you to ignore that phrase, under law. And they'll take you to all the other passages that they'll twist to try to keep you under the law. Now, before we go on, we're going to look at this, but I just want to sum it up like this. Is you still should live a life that is in obedience to the laws of God. But you don't do it, number one, by holding around a list and following that list. And what we've talked about today is that God's law had 613, and you have to also then use common sense. Which of those 613 are eternal moral laws compared to laws that pertain to the temple and to law cleanliness under the law. In other words, one of the laws was I could not eat shrimp and I couldn't eat bacon. Now I eat bacon. I eat shrimp wrapped in bacon. See? Now that's the difference. Why do you do that, preacher? Because those laws were specific for a covenant people called Israel. And the only way people get mixed up is when they try to replace Israel with the church and put the church under those laws. But what's funny is then they pick and choose which ones they're going to follow because they'll say, well, I don't eat shrimp or bacon. Yeah, but you still don't follow all the other 613 laws. Why? Well, because one of the laws was blood sacrifice at a temple in Jerusalem. Another law was the Sabbath. You say, well, I'm a Sabbatarian. You're still breaking the Sabbath law by the book. The book said you couldn't even pick up sticks. You couldn't go more than a third of a mile. You couldn't prepare food. And all the women are like, I like that idea. But a lot of these Sabbatarians will say Saturday Sabbath, and then their women are excused to break the law so they can feed the men. That's what happens. And so anyway, that's the example of those extremes and why they're wrong. Both extremes are wrong. We'll start off with that. Now let's look at what it means to not be under law. We saw this previously when we were studying Galatians chapter 3. A few of you paid attention, and you saw that before faith, we were under law. Now, Galatians 3:23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Now, look real close at that verse. I think we went over this several weeks ago when we were in that chapter. But do you hear these people say, oh, people in the Old Testament were saved by faith in looking forward to the cross, and they were eternally secure. And then people during the tribulation and during the millennium will be saved by looking back to the cross, and they'll be eternally secure. That verse blows that away. It's just nonsense. Before this dispensation we're in today, no one was born again, sealed under the day of redemption, and eternally secure. It never happened. Amen. And it says right here that before faith came, it's talking about before being saved by faith came, you were kept under the law. Yep. Now, of course, no one was saved without faith. But before this dispensation, those who professed faith demonstrated their faith, and that saved them. They weren't saved by works, but their faith required works, or it was of no effect. Amen. That's not what you and I are under today. But if you do not read your Bible and rightly divide the word of truth, you'll end up as goofy as these other people. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. To be under law, think of this, is to be under the penalty of breaking the law. Everyone under law was under that penalty. Only those who did demonstrate their faith with a blood sacrifice, showing that they trusted that God would one day bring a full payment for sin, they were saved, but they didn't go to heaven. Did you know that? Before Jesus came and this transition to the dispensation we're in now, when a believer died, they went to the middle of the earth.
Amen.
And everybody who died went to the middle of the earth. Yep. You either went to the paradise side or you went to hell.
Yep. Amen.
And if you don't believe me, believe Jesus in Luke 16. He tells the story.
Yep.
The rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus went to paradise and was in Abraham's bosom with all the believers, and then on the other side, there was a gulf fixed between them, which is the mythical name for that, was Styx, like the rock group. And that gulf separated hell from paradise, and the rich man was in hell. Now, when Jesus came, and this transition to what dispensation we're in now, wherein you believe how that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture, you repent of everything. And I'm so sick of these guys who want to hack the Bible up and say repentance only means you repent of unbelief. The Bible never says such a nonsensical thing. You repent, period. You repent of everything. What you do, what you are, what you believe, you repent of it all and turn toward Jesus Christ with faith. How that He died for your sins.
Amen.
And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to Scripture, and you're saved. And so, since that transition has been complete, when Jesus resurrected, He emptied that compartment of the middle of the earth called paradise. And He led captivity captive. And He took them to heaven. And now since then, those of us who are alive in Christ, when we die, we go to heaven. And right now, this will freak a lot of people out, but the Bible teaches this. Right now, every person who dies without Jesus Christ, they go to the middle of the earth.
Amen.
In a place called hell. Science is close because they'll tell you it's hot down there.
Yeah.
And those spirits, the bodies are in the grave, but the spirit and soul of these people are in hell. And what they wait is resurrection, where they will put back on physical form, stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne. Their names will not be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they will be cast into a lake of fire.
Amen.
See, hell is temporary. So your Catholic friends are close. But the problem is they think you can go to purgatory, which is hell, by a different name, but they think there's a chance for you to get out. The Bible says you go there just for waiting for judgment, and then once you're judged, you go to the lake of fire. There's no chance of being saved. You find yourself in purgatory. That's the sad thing. All these Catholics, when they die, they think they're in purgatory. And when they come out of there in front of Jesus, for at least a moment, they're going to think, oh, finally it's over. No, it has just begun. That's the reality.
Amen.
So sin has dominion over us when we are under the law. And that's why those who died then and died now under the law, if they have not found redemption, they go to hell. Because there's a penalty. The wages of sin is death. And if you choose, and every man and woman who ever stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne will confess that they chose hell. You may not believe that. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's true. And every man and woman who has rejected Jesus Christ and stands before Him on Judgment Day will admit that they rejected His payment for their sins.
Amen.
It's going to happen. And while you're still under law, you're still under the dominion of sin. You're guilty. Romans 3:19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are what?
Under the law.
That every mouth may be stopped. That's going to happen at the great white throne. And all the world may what? Become guilty before God. You see, those who are under the law are to recognize that they are under law and they are violators of the law and they are under dominion of sin, which means they are under the penalty of sin. That's what the law does. That's what the purpose of the law. To be under law means to be obligated to keep all of the law in order to be saved. Anybody who says, well, I'm a pretty good guy. Most of the time I keep the law. Then you're damned. Amen. That's all you have to do. You know, some of you don't like being that straightforward. Fine. But someone comes up to you and says, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I think God's going to let me in. Well, the Bible says you're damned. Amen.
Amen.
I used to work with a guy and he'd always say, well, I'll be damned. I said, you already are. I know. You don't have to tell me again. Amen. I have a clean conscience with that dude.
Amen.
Once saved, you are out from under the law. Amen.
Amen.
See, that's the difference. You're under the law until you're saved. Now you're no longer under the law. You're free from the penalty of the law. Romans 8:2, read that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Now you know why we sing so much. Amen? That's why we sing so much. When somebody says, oh, I like that church, they sing too much. There's something wrong with that person. You can't sing enough.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we limit it. We have some sense about it. But you know what? It's never enough.
Amen.
I'm always thinking, I'd love to sing one more song. How many? Wait, sing that one and then I sing, one more? Come on. To believe the gospel is to repent of, as I said earlier, our sins, our nature, and our unbelief.
Amen.
Okay? I want you to understand that, because that is what it means to believe the gospel, is that you have recognized that you've committed sins because you're a sinner, and you're damned because you've rejected the only way to be saved. We repent of all and we turn to God, and that's what I'm going to show you this, because so many people are teaching, again, they're hyper dispensational, they're hyper dividers of the Bible, and they try to cut Jesus completely off. And they only, he'll tell you just study Romans through Philemon. Now listen, I will grant you that Romans through Philemon for the church is basically our constitution. I mean, that's our Constitution and Bill of Rights right there. But the whole Bible is for us. And so then you have to look, as you're reading through the Bible, the context. For example, I use this because it's obvious. Noah was told to build an ark. So does that mean we all go out and build an ark? Ken Ham seems a little confused about that, but the rest of us understand that you don't need to build an ark. Okay? Well, but is there some truth about Noah's day that we can learn for us? Absolutely, because Jesus said in the last days it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And so you look at the days of Noah and you look at today and you're like, whoa, we are right there, ain't we? Amen. And then what Noah did in his day was preach and preach and preach, and nobody got saved. So what did he do? Well, he held a committee meeting. He said, you know, this isn't working, so we need to change our program here. Ham, I think you need to start a basketball league, and we're going to reach the young men. Ham, you do the basketball league. And Japheth, you're really good with the bow and arrow and hunting and that sort of thing. At least your offspring will be. And so let's go ahead and get you into some outdoor sports, you know. But Shem, you're kind of the sensitive one, so you and your wife can head up a women's ministry. And what we'll do there is we're going to make little things to give away. Oh, we could actually sell them. Sell and have like a... Yeah. See what... And now, is anything wrong with any one of those things? No, but the church becomes... That's all they do. They lay aside the mission and become about programs. Because they don't think the mission is working. Why? Because they've set up a false standard for what is working. Let me ask you, just put it in. If you are reaching people with the gospel, it's working. But no one's getting saved, preacher. That's none of your bizwax.
Amen.
Amen. We're to preach the gospel. Where in Mark 16:15 does it say, and get them saved? Just preach the gospel to every living creature. That's it. Doesn't say, and get them saved. So what do? If you're getting the gospel out, your program's working.
Amen.
Right. Noah's program worked. And so we know, when we read that, we can learn from Noah. Because it's just like it was in his day. And we can be strengthened and encouraged by looking at Noah. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Jesus, in Mark 1:14, it says, now after that John was put in prison, that's John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee doing what? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, there will be people who tell you that Jesus preached when it came to the gospel of the kingdom of God was different from what Paul preached, and that's not true. That's not true. What was different was that when Paul came along, the Holy Spirit had already been given and started his ministry, and the mysteries of the kingdom were revealed through Paul.
Amen.
Now, some of you don't understand why I'm emphasizing that. That's because you don't get out much. But if you get around among Christians today, these hyper-dividers, as I said, they are trying to divorce the church from Jesus.
Yeah.
What did it say? It says, it's what Jesus was saying. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You see, one of the reasons these guys do this is because they are Bible perverts and they want to get rid of repentance. And they don't like the fact that Jesus spoke in such plain language. Now, granted, I'm telling you, Paul preached repentance. The fact that he didn't always use the word repentance doesn't matter, but there were times he actually did use the word. But that's one of the reasons why they try to tell you this is different from what Paul preached. Jesus preached that I have come to die for your sins, and they'll crucify me, but 3 days later I will raise myself up again. That's the same gospel Paul preached. The only difference is the revelation of the mystery surrounding that message. The message was the same. It's a very simple message. And dominion changes when the sinner repents and believes. You see? Did you know you're in a kingdom?
Amen.
Now, we've shied away from teaching this truth, and it's sad, but we've done it because of the dominionists and the word faithers. Because they run around turning it into some blasphemous joke. Where everybody's like, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And the question is, okay, you bound him? Why does the guy keep getting loose? Have you ever wondered about that? And on any given day, there's a million Baptists out there binding Jesus. And he keeps getting loose. Something's wrong with that. And listen, during the kingdom, when you and I are glorified, I believe we will do exactly what Jesus did when he was on earth. If anyone gets stung by a bee, I think we'll be able to walk up and go, the pain will go away. I think we're going to be able to do those things. But that's in the future. All you got today are a bunch of spoiled little children pretending. And that's why you've got Benny and all these guys who will go to big, huge coliseums where there's tens of thousands of people basically worshiping them, but they never find their way down to Children's Hospital or to the heart unit down here in Riverside. They never go to the places where the really sick people are. They go to where the crowd is, where the money is, where the hype is. And they're pretenders. That whole movement is pretend. But that's what's caused us to shy away from the kingdom teachings.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. Now, I haven't shied away, but we go through books, so I deal with it when it comes up, and it's up. Amen?
Amen?
So that's why we're dealing with it. And if you go through in Mark, we dealt with it. 2 Corinthians, we dealt with it. When it came up, we dealt with it. But you, as a student, should constantly have it coming up. I mean, if you're reading three chapters of the Bible a day, you're going through the Bible once a year, that means the kingdom's going to come up about every 2 or 3 weeks. Especially when you get to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, though, you're going to see things that relate, prophecies that relate. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That's a kingdom. You see that? You read the Bible with knowledge, it sure turns it on.
Yeah.
A lot of reasons people are bored with the Bible, and they are, is because they have no clue what's going on, they don't know what the message is about, and they get bored with it because they're just disconnected. Get connected and understand that you were in a kingdom, you were under the dominion of sin, you were in the kingdom of Satan, and when you got saved, you became a member of the kingdom of God. The transfer is to the kingdom of God from the dominion of sin. That happened when you got saved.
Amen. Amen.
The sin dominion ends. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
For you are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
Now again, the perverts will say that just means we don't have to follow the law at all anymore. No, it means that in context, there are things that you should still do that happen to be law, but you do it because of the Spirit of God in you. You now know by the prompting of the Spirit right and wrong. You know when you go into Walmart and the lady, you know, gives you $20 more than she should, that you ought to say, excuse me, Walmartian, You gave me $20 too much. And you know what you're blowing there? You're not blowing 20 bucks. If you don't give the money back, you're blowing a witness. Because they're going to think, what is wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm saved. This little track will tell you about it. See? Amen. Amen. It happens. It does. Now, you know, but we can take stories of people it's happened to. And that's what it's all about. Entering the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's what it's about. I'm just telling you. If you think Christianity is just about you feeling good or you just being happy, you know, happy clappy and all that, you got the wrong idea. You get happiness and joy and you get plenty of good stuff from God. I mean, He blesses His children. I'm not saying that, but that's not the purpose. Those are the benefits. The purpose is entering the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Paul said it was about entering the kingdom of God.
Amen.
In the close of Acts, the book of Acts closes. And what's crazy is a lot of these guys who chop up the Bible will admit that the book of Acts is a book of transition. And when, by the time the book of Acts comes to a close, it's the transition's over, right?
Yes.
Okay, if you're falling asleep on me, I'm going to have you all get up and we're going to do some exercise. Now, here might be a legitimate issue, though. How many of you understand that the book of Acts is a history book telling you the history of the transition to the dispensation of the church that we're in? So, what these hyper-dividers will admit to is that by the time the book of Acts comes to a close, that the transition is done. Okay? And then you have Paul's letters that then reveal all the mysteries and all the truths of being in this new dispensation are for the Christian. But, look how Acts closed in Acts 28, verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Now watch this. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Oh, today they forbid that. I'm talking about professing Bible-believing Christians. They forbid this. They say, you're preaching the kingdom. You better believe I am. But I'm preaching the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom on earth, a kingdom that is physical, the kingdom that has a king sitting on a literal throne. That day's coming. What I'm preaching right now is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And of course, they got the guys who can't see straight, and they think, well, they're the same thing, just by different names. No, they're not. There's similarities, and there's things that are true about both, but there are differences, including the difference between the word God and the word heaven. That's where it all kind of starts. Spelling it. I preach the kingdom of God whenever I preach that you must be born again. Any man who's not born again cannot see the kingdom of God. And you must turn to God, repenting from all, and turning to God by faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ in the death, burial, and resurrection as payment for your sin and victory over your sin. You're preaching the kingdom of God when you do that. And those are things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you hack Jesus out of the program and say He's just in another dispensation and we're just to not even pay attention to Him, nonsense. Paul says otherwise, you're not a Pauline preacher, you're not a Pauline Christian if you ignore this.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.